This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Final hour of Grant and Danny. The draft starts at 8 o'clock, 7 hours from now. Our coverage begins from the anthem, myself and Pete at 6:30. Make sure you're listening for every pick from the podium and selection-by-selection analysis. Michael Lombardi's been in draft rooms all his life, a scout, turned a front office exec, turned a general manager, and author. I loved his book, Gridiron Genius, and he's with us on G&D here on The Fan. Michael, thanks much for the time. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. So let's start with the Redskins. Your boy, Bruce Allen, who you once worked with and said you guys tried to keep out of the football operation.
Change the locks.
He's running the show here in D.C.
We didn't have to. He wasn't allowed. But go ahead.
He and Dan Snyder, apparently, on the business side of things, thinking a little differently than the football people, Jay Gruden and Kyle Smith. What do you think when you hear that about front offices maybe not being on the same page?
You know, I think this. I think Grant talked about that Daniel's taken over the draft. I think that Daniel's always been involved in the draft. I think Bruce has been, in the mafia, the term would be a buffer. In politics, it would be plausible deniability. But as long as Bruce runs the team, Dan has somebody to take the heat, and he can still run it. So when I tweeted out yesterday that, Dan's always been running, it's really a reflection of because he can control Bruce.
At Michael Lombardi NFL, great follow. I'm one of those followers. It's great information regarding NFL.
You just like us, I kill Bruce. That's why you follow me. You keep tweeting, send more, right?
Well, it's a bonus. It really is. It's like you eat a great dinner, you're full, but there's a dessert
tray. But here's the difference, Michael, because Danny, look, he'll do, we'll occasionally do our Bruce impression, right? And Danny likes that for sure. But there's a difference between us saying something and you who worked with him. And I think there's a credibility. When you've been in the building with a guy, when you're a football background person who's been a GM like you, and you say something, it's got more weight. So when we say, Bruce isn't a football guy, he's a cap guy, he's a business guy, he's a survivor.
People roll their eyes at us.
People can say, oh, you guys just don't like him. But when you're in the building and you say, yeah, we really didn't want him to help us pick players, I think it means more.
Well, he never picked players. I mean, he wouldn't even know how to scout. I mean, I'm not the only guy. Scott McLuhan says the same thing, too. I mean, anybody who's been interactive with Bruce knows he's not a football guy. I mean, that's really not something that, I know his dad was a legendary head coach, but he never came up that way. He came up a different way. And if you were to ask him about, what is the true meaning of this draft and where the fifth rusher fits in, the fourth rusher, and the value of this draft in terms of tight ends, what's an F, what's a Y, you're in a conversation that he's not going to be able to handle.
Michael, what should the Redskins do tonight? If you could pick any kind of scenario, trade up, trade down, stand pat, pick the best available, what would your philosophy be if you're running the worm?
I think this. I'm not in love with the quarterbacks in the draft. I think Kyler Murray's really talented. I think he really is talented. I have real troubles with somebody who can't see down the field. And I know the rhetoric about, he's a drop-back passer. College pass rushing and the NFL pass rushing are two entirely different things. And so, I respect his arm. I respect his accuracy. I respect his foot quickness and his electrifying speed. I have real troubles with his size, his durability, and potentially can he last. And then after that, for me, I just think this draft is a lot of collection of players that'll be average starters of the NFL if they didn't start or more backups. I mean, look, I think Haskins is not a West Coast offense guy. I think Haskins is not a rhythm thrower. I think he's a hold the ball, wait till it's open, and throw it down the field. He possesses some very good skills in terms of arm strength and size. But in terms of rhythm and timing, if he comes into the Washington offense, he doesn't really fit. That's not his game. His game is not rhythm and timing and footwork. His game is hold the ball, throw it down the field. He would be better in Joe Gibbs' old 1980 offense than he would be in Jay Gruden's 2019 offense.
Our guest is Michael Lombardi. He has run draft rooms in the past. He's with us on Grant and Danny. Michael, what would you do with a guy like Montez Sweat? NFL Network just reported within the last 15 minutes that apparently now teams are at least speculating that he was misdiagnosed at the combine. His heart condition might not be as bad as people thought. He was a top 10 pick. Then he became maybe a late teens pick. How do you handle a guy where there's so many different things coming out about something as serious as his heart?
Well, it's coming out to us, but I think most of the teams knew it. The team doctors know it. I mean, once he was diagnosed, you're on your doctor back in February. Like, look, we got to get an answer on this, you know, and so we got to find this out. And look, if he, you know, the one thing about the draft, you can't control the medical. Belichick says all the time, I'm not a doctor, you know, and he means it. You can't control the medical. So whatever they tell you it is, now you keep asking them the same question, you keep trying to give you the same answer. You know, so you keep digging. Is this going to be okay? Because last year they all said Maurice Hurst couldn't play, that it wasn't the Raiders pick him in the fifth round. He played all year. So you've got to keep prying it. But I think this has happened a month ago. I think people have been fully aware that maybe perhaps this isn't as severe as it is. Now you take, you know, Rashard Gary with his shoulder injury, that's a more significant. You take Simmons coming off the ACL, that's significant. But you know he's going to get better. You know he's going to improve.
Michael, who should trade up? Who are the candidates in your mind, teams? Because everybody always wants to trade down and add picks. That's always the thing that fans clamor for now, and it makes you look smart. Who should be in the market of trading up?
Well, I think this. I think it's who could impact your team. Who, like, I think Devin White impacts any defense he goes to, because today's football, the Mike linebacker, is really an important component. You know, back 5 years ago, the Mike linebacker was two downs, and then he was off the field. But now, since there really is no down classified as passing down, since all the downs are passing downs, if you can get a Mike linebacker who can play on three levels, meaning he can play Tampa 2 in the middle of the field, meaning he can play stack behind the line, then he can rush the passer, and he can play in the red zone, which is so important. When your Mike linebacker is fast and electric in the red zone, you become a much better red zone defensive team. So to me, Devin White's a real difference maker. I think Simmons from Mississippi State's a difference maker. I think Williams from Alabama is a difference maker. I think you get some of those guys to add to your football team, I think they make a huge difference.
What do you make of the handling of the Rosen-Kyler Murray offseason so far for Arizona? Do you expect Rosen to be a Cardinal at the end of tonight?
You know, that I don't know, but I don't think the Cardinals have done any handling. I think they've said nothing. I think the media has been handling it. So now the media wants the Cardinals to react to what they've done. When they've done nothing, they've just been reacting. The media's done everything. So, look, I don't know. I thought Cliff Kingsbury was hired to save Josh Rosen, not trade Josh Rosen. If, in fact, they do decide to pick Kyler Murray tonight, and I don't have any information one way or the other, I think I would hold on to Josh Rosen and let his value come back and go from there.
Michael, it's so cliche to say stand on the table, but if you, as a guy that's run rooms before, who would you stand on the table for a guy in this draft that maybe not necessarily the best player, but a guy that you love and would love to have on your team?
Oh, I love Keneal Harry, the wide receiver from Arizona State. I love Simmons from Mississippi State. Those are my two favorite players in the draft.
Michael Lombardi getting ready for what will be a huge night in the NFL, draft night, must-see television. The best thing about this year's class, we all kind of think Kyler Murray's going one, but we really don't know from the pick that starts the whole thing through the first round how this is going to unfold. Michael, we appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Always good to have you on the show. Michael Lombardi on Grant and Danny. He has the fastest hang-up in the entire business.
Like, if this was the old days and someone challenged him to a duel at noon, he would win it. He's so fast.
The behind-the-scenes on Michael Lombardi's hang-up is I always put guests on hold so Dar can answer. Mm-hmm. Dar's never once talked to Lombardi after the interview. And that time, right there, he said, thanks, guys. I think while he was saying thanks, guys.
He beat you. He beat your on hold.
I didn't even get to put him on hold yet. And it takes literally a click of the button after thanks, guys. I think he was saying thanks, guys, as he was moving the phone down to hit end. Like, he was already lifting it away from his ear. Thanks, guys, was almost walkie-talkie style as he was hitting
end. Or he had his finger on some kind of button. Maybe it was a Bluetooth. Maybe someone I don't even know.
Is he... What is he doing now?
Superhuman.
Like, do you think he's doing another interview already?
Something, whatever it is. The lawn needs work. Something else. He's on to the next project.
It's incredible.
This is a little even more behind the scenes. I've worked with a lot of folks here at 106.7 The Fan. I've done shows with everybody. Your move to hold is the quickest of anybody that I've worked with. Because you hover, and you're right there for the hold.
Well, I want a sincere thank you from Dar.
You're great at it. I do. Thanks so much for coming on. And then it's like 1-1,000, 2-1,000. I move the mouse, like, you know, slowly. You're hovered right there. Your hold is quick. Dar's usually, you know, like, he's got his hand over the at the bowling alley.
Yeah.
You know, when the wind comes out and you try to dry it off, he's got his twitcher finger going over the phone to pick up and say, oh, this is an XM, but thanks for coming on. And it's usually so fast and it's seamless. Lombardi beats that, and it's not even a contest. We need something else. We need to give him like a like a Like the freeze does in Atlanta, where we get a head start or something. There's no way to get him on the hold.
He's good, man. 1:30 today, our Redskins reporters and 106.7 personalities make the pick for the team at number 15. You'll hear from a dozen or so different media members on the Skins pick. They will select a player at number 15 for Washington. You'll hear who thinks they should trade up or trade back before they make their pick as well. But next, let's mock our way through the top 10, you and I, back and forth on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Last night, I feel weird. I don't know what I'm going to do next round as far as who I'm rooting for. Carolina just eliminated Washington, and by and large, I have no gripes or issues with the Hurricanes. I thought Justin Williams, who I used to love here, was a ultra pain in the butt and acted like a tool a lot of that series, trying to goad guys into things. But he was playing hockey. I mean, that's kind of the name of the game. He's the captain of Carolina. He's really good buddies with a lot of the Capitals. And in general, I was annoyed at times by Hurricanes fans. But that's just how a playoff series goes. For the most part, I loved them all season. I liked their storm surge. I liked how much fun they had. Then they're playing the Islanders, and I'm a Barry Trotz mark. He gave me my first Stanley Cup. You never forget your first. You know that, Danny. And yeah, he should still be here, as far as I'm concerned. I think I'll probably pull for Barry Trotz, but I don't know if that'll make it more painful, to be honest. If he goes back to the Stanley Cup with a different team in the Metro Division, I despise Islanders fans, so I don't want them to be happy.
Sure.
I'm in a weird place, man. I don't know who to root for.
For me, it's very easy. I need correct things to be proven correct and incorrect things to be proven incorrect. I need accountability. I want Barry Trotz to win the whole damn thing, 2 straight years. I don't think it's likely, but that's what I want. I want everyone to remember that for some reason, the championship coach for an organization that's existed for more than 40 years that never came close to breaking through, finally broke through, and they didn't want to pay that guy. I need people to understand that that's wrong, that that shouldn't have happened. So Barry Trotz taking a group that's not that good in the Islanders to a Stanley Cup would be delightful to remind everybody that that's what should have gone down in that way. And the organization should be held accountable for it. That the joy and the wave that they gave us from last year should never be forgotten. That's all true. But also, this process wasn't very good.
I'd love to see him hoist the cup. I could definitively say that if it wasn't the Islanders, because I do find most of their fans to be insufferable.
I get that.
And if you've ever been to a game in any of the 17 arenas that they play in now, they have the weirdest home arena situation of all time in the playoffs, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
They've been playing at Barclays, and they went back to the Coliseum, and they were in some random third runoff alternate jersey. I have no idea what they're doing, but apparently they're playing in a different building for the second round.
Well, how many times have they said goodbye to the Coliseum?
Exactly.
I mean, every time they play there, they print up shirts. Last time here, and then right. 2 months later, they're back.
It's like Jordan coming out of retirement over and over. Like, he might play for the Denver Nuggets for 6 weeks.
Yeah, the Nassau Coliseum is the Brett Favre of buildings. You know what I mean? Like, the kicker's going to convince it to open up again.
Make up your minds. But I do want good things for Barry Trotz, and like you, I wanted him to be here, and he wasn't, and part of me is just happy. I think he's a great human being, and I think he's a really good head coach. All right, let's get to the top 10. We'll just run through it really quick, every other pick. You get number one. You're the Arizona Cardinals. Who you taking?
What I think I should do or what they will do?
I want to predict what's going to happen.
Let's predict it. Kyler Murray, 1-1.
Okay. Murray goes to the Cardinals. I'm on the clock at number two at the 49ers. By the way, in 10 minutes, you're going to want to be listening at 1:30. We are going to be playing for you a piece that Brennan worked hard on, put together for us, which is awesome. A bunch of guests we have on the show throughout the year, Redskins experts, analysts, reporters, and 106.7 personalities predicting what they're going to do at 15. Number two is the easiest pick of the night, I think.
Oh,
thank you, Tom.
That's one.
The San Francisco 49ers take Nick Bosa from Ohio State. I think he gets double-digit sacks in his first year. He takes after his brother, Joey. He's a stud.
Number three, give me Quinnen Williams, defensive tackle, Alabama.
I feel like he should go higher. I know it's the third overall pick.
Right.
But isn't there a lot of years where Quinnen Williams is gone in the first two picks?
Yes.
That guy is outstanding.
That to me, and now this is famous last words. I'm freezing cold takes myself here. That to me is a surefire pick as there is in this draft. And I know I fall in love with defensive linemen, but that dude's a badass.
I don't think you got to worry about that freezing cold take. Pick number four, the Oakland Raiders. I think things could get fun here. Things could get sexy.
You got a thing?
I believe They're going to actually go a little bit off the grid. Give me Josh Allen, the edge from Kentucky. They lost Khalil Mack a season ago, and they get a star to get to the quarterback at pick number four.
I think that's exactly what they do, by the way.
Nobody's really predicting that. A lot of people are saying Ed Oliver. Some people are saying quarterback. I think they go Josh Allen.
By the way, my firm bet is that they trade with the Redskins. But if they stay there, that's what they're doing. Number five for Tampa Bay. Go ahead, Tommy. Maybe a guy that will remember this. This was the blank draft. The way I remember, this is the Mike Evans draft. Another Tampa Bay Buck. Devin White. Superstar. Number five. Please and thank you.
With the sixth pick, the New York Giants are on the clock. They're going to take Ed Oliver, the big D tackle from Houston, mm-hmm. and help upgrade their front. You know who likes big bodies in the trenches? Old school hat on a hat, Dave Gettleman.
Dave Gettleman, man.
And for some reason, he thinks Eli Manning's 23 years old.
Please think that so much.
The fountain of youth, they're going to go Ed Oliver at number six overall.
Number seven. Jacksonville's offense reprehensibly bad. This morning on the Yunkies, I gave myself Juwan Taylor, who I think is the best offensive lineman in this draft. I think Jacksonville's going to take your boy, Grant, T.J. Hockenson.
Why aren't you sticking with Juwan Taylor?
Because I think this is what the Jags are going to do.
Okay.
They're going to try to give Nick Foles one more toy. I like their young receiver pieces, by the way. They look terrible because Blake Bortles stinks at throwing the football to them.
The eighth overall pick is in. The Detroit Lions got their pick to the podium before the Bills leapfrogged them.
Mm-hmm,
they didn't get Minnesota Vikings. The eighth pick is boring. It's Andre Diller, the tackle from Washington State. The Lions need pass pro. They need to help Matt Stafford, who had a bad year last year. Andre Dillard's off the board.
So number nine, I've got your Buffalo Bills. I think it ends up either Juwan Taylor, but I'll go with this one. A little bit of a surprise. I think Jonah Williams from Alabama goes number nine to Buffalo. They need O-line help. This is about propping up Josh Allen.
Brings us to pick number 10, the Denver Broncos. And because we're doing what they're going to do, not what I would do.
Correct.
What I would do would be Devin Bush, linebacker, Michigan. What the Denver Broncos are going to do at number 10, they're going to take a quarterback. And John Elway is going to mess around and get himself Daniel Jones, the quarterback from Duke.
He can't help himself.
He loves him some quarterback.
So we
dude.
Didn't take Dwayne Haskins in the top 10 just now.
No, we did not. I thought Haskins might be an option for Denver. I considered going with him there. I took Daniel Jones for and just a little what's John Elway going to do to screw up quarterback most kind of thing. But, yeah, I think he could go 10. But really, to me, the range is Broncos at 10 and then the Dolphins and the Bengals within those next few picks. That's where the quarterbacks could go. I don't think it's going to be early, which is why I don't think there's a chance.
Huh.
I shouldn't say there's a I know there's a chance because I know Dan Snyder would like to. But I don't think the Redskins will move up into the top five.
See, I think somebody is. I think we're going to have trades abound. Somebody's taking a quarterback at four. Someone's going to take one at six. Whether it's the Raiders and Giants there, TBD.
One of my favorite annual segments we do, and it is a credit to Dar who puts it together. The Redskins reporter predict the pick is next on The Fan. One of our favorite segments of the year on draft day, annually. We get as many of our favorite Redskins reporters on as are available. Many of the 106.7, the Fan hosts involved as well. And they predict the pick at number 15 with the Redskins on the clock. Dar puts it together for us. Nice compilation here. Let's do it.
With the 15th pick, the Washington Redskins select
what's up? It's Cakes from the Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. I believe with the 15th pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Washington Redskins will select Montez Sweat, defensive lineman, edge rusher from Mississippi State. There's been a lot of concern about him over the last 3 or 4 weeks since it came out. He has an enlarged heart. I think it scared a lot of teams away. He's a top 5 or 10 type of talent, but I think he will slip down to the Redskins range at 15, and they will pounce on him to pair him on the other side of Ryan Kerrigan. You always need pass rush. I don't think the Redskins are in love with any of the quarterbacks despite all of the noise you're hearing over the last couple weeks about Haskins. I think the Redskins go with Sweat at 15. Montez Sweat is the pick for the Redskins.
All right, EB here. And with the 15th pick in the 2019 NFL draft, I'd move mountains earlier to get Kyler Murray, but nobody seems to like that idea, and I think the Redskins will be boring and not do anything cool like that. So I think they stay where they are at 15, and they're desperate for an edge rusher. So I think they go with the best one available. On my board, it would be Cleveland Farrell from Clemson.
What's up, Grant and Danny? This is your boy, Bish Bucks, from the Junkies. Thought you guys wanted to have me on to break down the Zurich Classic, the two-man format on the PGA Tour, but I guess not. With the 15th pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Washington Redskins select Daniel Jones, quarterback out of Duke, and Jay Gruden just fell off his bar stool at Matchbox and won Loudon. I think Snyder and Bruce want to make this pick. I think they want to create a splash. I don't think you can sell Case Keenum or Colt McCoy to the fans. They got to put somebody in the seats. Not sure Daniel Jones moves the needle that much. They certainly would like to have Murray or Haskins, but I think that they are a quarterback desperate. And if it was up to Jay, there's no chance they're taking a quarterback, but it's not. It's up to Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen, and I think they go quarterback. By the way, I'm very disappointed at the Washington Capitals and specifically Braden Holtby. See ya.
This is Rick Snyder. Well, last year I was the only one to take the person that actually they drafted, Deron Payne. So I'm going to go a little different again this year, probably for two. DK Metcalf. I know they're going to take Haskins, but DK Metcalf, that's the guy who would really help them a lot.
This is Les Carpenter at the Washington Post. With the 15th pick, I think the Redskins will take Dwayne Haskins, the quarterback from Ohio State. If he is available, they need a quarterback, obviously, and this is the guy that I think they have targeted. It seems like someone that they've spent a lot of time looking at. He needs some time to develop. They have the opportunity to do that, and I think he would be an excellent pick probably for them there. If they choose not to, or should I say he's not available, then I think they will go for something on the defense that would be the best available for their need. And the guy I'm looking at is Brian Burns, the outside linebacker from Florida State, who I think could be very dynamic at that position and obviously would fill a need for them.
Hey, it's Tarik Elbers here of the Athletic DC. With the 15th overall pick, I think the Redskins are going to find themselves a quarterback. I think Dwayne Haskins is still going to be on the board, and the Redskins are going to use the opportunity to pounce and get their guy. Obviously, he's a local product, having played at Bullis in Potomac. He's got a high ceiling. He's got a big arm. Sure, there's some questions about his experience, but I think he's going to benefit from having a really veteran quarterback room there with Case Keenum, and maybe Alex Smith is going to be around a little bit, even though he's not going to be on the field. I think the Redskins are going to get their guy. Dwayne Haskins is going to be the quarterback of the future.
This is Mike Jones from USA Today, and with the 15th pick, I've got the Redskins taking DK Metcalf, wide receiver. They definitely have a need at quarterback, but it doesn't matter who your quarterback is. The Redskins really have a big need for playmakers. If you look at the wide receiver position, it's gotten weaker. You don't have a big move to change, game changer, red zone threat. You've got Paul Richardson, who's got some speed, but you don't have anybody with some real imposing size. So that's why I've got him taking Metcalf to give Case Keenum, Colt McCoy, or whoever the quarterback is, a reliable weapon.
Despite all the smoke around the quarterback position in the last 24 hours before the draft, I'm going to stick to my guns and what I've been thinking for the last week or two as I think more and more about what this team needs. That is an explosive playmaker on offense, and there is one in this draft that stands out above all the others. That is Marquise Brown, wide receiver, Oklahoma. He is electric. Think DeSean Jackson-like. And I realize that is an enormous comparison when you're talking about the electricity of a player, but he's got it. This is a guy who played with Kyler Murray and was on the receiving end of a large number of Murray's down the field throws. He's also electric and dynamic with the ball in his hands. You can throw it to him short. He can score from anywhere on the field. I think that the quarterback stuff is certainly interesting and ultimately could wind up being a pick, but I'm going to stick to my guns. And Marquise Brown, wide receiver, Oklahoma, despite the Liz Frank injury that kept him out of the pre-draft process, will be the pick for the Redskins, and they'll do it at number 15.
It is Chris Russell, host at 106.7 The Fan and thefandc.com. And with the 15th overall pick, assuming that the Redskins don't trade up, which of course is a very legitimate possibility, I'm going to stay with the Redskins at number 15, selecting quarterback Dwayne Haskins, because yes, I do think there's a chance that he will indeed fall to them at number 15. Even though quarterbacks generally don't drop in the draft, I'm going to take him. I do believe the hype. I do believe that they are enamored. I do believe that the front office is driving this decision, as has been reported. I do think it is important to have somebody that is a local product that played quarterback at a very successful and big program, even though there is some scheme assimilation issues and problems, and maybe some people in the Redskins building that are not the hugest fans of Dwayne Haskins. I think ultimately they will go with Dwayne Haskins and the quarterback of their future, or at least the guy they hope, at number 15 overall in the first round.
Michael Phillips here with the Richmond Times-Dispatch. I think the Redskins are going back, not forward. I don't think they're going to pick a 15, but I think they're going to move back. I think they want one of those big game-changing receivers. I think they'll be able to get him late in the first round. So I'm going to take DK Metcalf as my guy, but I'm going to say the Redskins trade out of pick 15 to get him.
Hey, this is Ben Standard with NBC Sports Washington, and I think with the 15th pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Washington Redskins are going to select Brian Burns, Florida State edge rusher. How convinced am I they're going to take this guy? Who knows at this point? This draft is getting insane, all the Dwayne Haskins rumors, and I think some of those things make sense if, in fact, management, ownership, what have you, is factoring in other considerations, the fan base, box office, what have you. A quarterback with local ties, it would make a lot of sense, and they need one for the long term. But in terms of 2019, the Redskins need some serious help getting after opposing quarterbacks. They lost Preston Smith. Brian Burns gets quarterbacks. He's a speed guy. I think an edge rusher in general makes sense, and I think Brian Burns at 15 would do well for the Redskins.
What up, everybody? J.P. Finley, Redskins insider, NBC Sports Washington, and loiterer-in-chief on Chad Dukes versus the World. With the 15th overall selection in the 2019 NFL Draft, I believe the Redskins are going to take Dwayne Haskins, quarterback from Ohio State. I don't think they're going to trade up. I don't know that they're going to have to. I think a lot of folks at Redskins Park want a quarterback. They like Haskins. I believe Locke is a little bit higher on their draft board, but I think Drew Locke will be gone. This decision will come down to Haskins or Dukes Daniel Jones, and I believe that the hometown kid, a guy that plays his high school football at Bullis, will be the selection.
Hey, it's Chad Dukes from Chad Dukes versus the World, and unlike Tony Wiley, I believe Grant Paulson's report that Dan Snyder has taken over the first round, and for that, I predict fireworks. I predict quarterback, whether it's Murray dropping out from one and they going up to three to get him, whether it's Haskins, whether it's Jones. That's what I predict. The big splash you guys were talking about earlier in the show. The owner wants to put asses in seats. That is going to supersede anything that he hears from a lame duck head coach. And that's what we're going to get. New quarterback in D.C. Now, whether or not Snyder intervenes and forces him to start, that's another matter. But that is my prediction.
For the nice production.
Job.
Well done, as always. And thank you to Cakes, EB, Bish Bucks, Chad, here at 106.7 The Fan, and all of our favorite Redskins guests from the year that were available and helped us put that together. So if you're keeping score at home, a vote for Sweat, a vote for Farrell, a vote for Daniel Jones, three votes
for Metcalf,
four for Haskins, Hoffman, Hollywood Brown, Standing Brian Burns, and Duke says trade up into the top five for a quarterback he's predicting.
Some really good bits from the Fan Air staff. Eric Pickle had a good bit. Jason Bishop, great bits.
Bishbucks brought his A game.
Duke's closed it strong, throwing a hundy out of the bullpen. That was good. That was fun. Dead Dukes is funny. He's funny, yes.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. We will put a bow on our show and hand things over to Chad next. 2 o'clock. Right now, it is time to take a quick spin around the league on Grant and Danny.
It's the Drive Around the League with Grant and Danny. Brought to you by your local Honda dealer. When you want to get more, it has to be a Honda. Don't settle for less. Visit your local Honda dealer today.
A rare night off for the Nats. They need it because they're going to be playing 34 times in the next 35 days. Elsewhere in the division, the Braves are at the Reds, playing Cincinnati. Not a very good team, so a matchup Atlanta needs to take advantage of. Speaking of which, same situation for the Phillies, who are hosting the Marlins. Of course, Miami took 2 of 3 from Washington on a road trip that started this past week. Well, the best team against the Marlins may well win the division. Seriously. Phillies get a chance to beat up on Miami starting tonight.
And the Nats' future opponents starting tomorrow night. San Diego comes in at 14-11. They got off to a red-hot start. They've been sort of treading water ever since then. But this is a pretty good club.
They've won three straight, though.
Yeah, they've got some potent offensive capabilities, led by Fernando Tatis Jr., a young sensation. You probably remember his dad, of course, Fernando Tatis Sr., along with Manny Machado, Will Myers. This isn't your older brother, San Diego Padres, that just pitched in a big, dumb ballpark and hoped to win 1-0. These guys can swing it a little bit, so they're okay. And then the Cardinals come to town. They got the best record in the National League at 15-9. They were one of my favorites. I picked them to go to the World Series, actually, out of the National League. I'm a huge fan of the Cardinals this year in terms of what they've got. But a couple pretty good teams coming up.
This just in 2 minutes ago from Diana Rossini of ESPN. The Redskins are not only in disagreement about whether to go quarterback with their top pick, but which quarterback to select. While we know by now that Bruce Allen and Dan Snyder are fixated on Dwayne Haskins, there is case being pled for Duke quarterback Daniel Jones, per sources. Now, I said this earlier. I'll double down on this. This is what I've been told by everyone I've talked to.
Mm-hmm.
The football side is pro Daniel Jones. The business side, which is what I describe Snyder and Allen as,
yes,
pro Dwayne Haskins.
Mm-hmm.
There is a juxtaposition and a battle kind of between camps in the Redskins offices as to which quarterback to go with. But what I was told yesterday was that Jay Gruden really likes Daniel Jones, the quarterback from Duke. Now, if they take him, that will not be popular because, you know, all of the armchair draft experts who watched 4 Duke games last year have decided that Daniel Jones is terrible. And he doesn't look to me like he's some star prospect. He had a very bad combine throwing the football. That goes without saying. But he'll be crushed and they'll be panned if they were to take him. But just know that the guys that evaluate the draft for a living at Redskins Park and their head coach specifically, based on what I was told, like Daniel Jones a whole lot.
Sure.
So if they take Daniel Jones at 15... you can be upset at the pick if you want to, but you should at least be happy that it was made by the guy that coaches the team and not somebody else.
Sure. I need that to be the process. I need them to win out. So if the debate internally is quarterback or not, and the football people lose that decision and then win the decision of which quarterback, I guess that's a marginal victory. Now, I think Daniel Jones is going to stink. I think he's got no chance. I do not like the player, do not like the prospect. Yeah, the guys that know more football than me like him more than I do. That's fine. We'll see who's right in the end. But if the football people win, I don't think a quarterback gets taken. If the football people lose and then their victory is which of the two quarterbacks, quote-unquote, that happens to be there, or which quarterback gets selected, if they win that, I don't know how to feel. That's a tie. That's kind of a marginal, you know, some good, some bad mixed in that. If the owner says, we are taking a quarterback, period, end of story, no matter what the cost or how we have to do it, that's bad. But if it's, you know, the process that gets you, you know, Kyle Smith and Jay Gruden's guy over Dan Snyder's local favorite guy, then I guess that's okay.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, going to be a blast. 8 o'clock start time for the draft. Way before that, our coverage begins. In fact, Pete Medhurst and myself from the Anthem over on the Wharf at 6:30 tonight. Chris Russell will be anchoring our coverage from the home studio. When he's on the air, he'll be here at Half Street, off and on throughout the evening as well. And Craig Hoffman will be at Redskins Park, should anything happen, on the scene for us. So we've got 4+ people on air from 3 locations. You're not going to hear better draft coverage. And I don't just mean locally, but period. We have blown out the budget. We're doing it big, and it's going to be done properly with such a huge night for the Redskins and so many big decisions at stake. Question becomes, what do they do? They got a bunch of people showing up at a draft party hoping for a move that makes this team a lot better tonight.
I think there's got to be some juice behind it. It's part of the reason why I buy them doing something big for a splash. With all due respect to who they might take, if it's Cleveland Farrell, are you having a huge party for that? I don't know that you are. I think it's going to be something
well,
big.
Also, then you'd be located in Ohio if it's Cleveland Farrell.
Did I misspeak?
No, it's a pit. Yeah.
Oh, okay. There's a great chance I misspoke.
It'll be all right. I like his name better as Cleveland Farrell.
Did I say Cleveland?
I thought you. Maybe I misheard it.
Cleveland Farrell.
You think they could take him? That's EB. EB's going hard with that today, by the way.
I'm just running out there. Rashawn Gary picked the guy.
What would you think about that pick? I'd be happy with it.
I'd be okay with it. Again, to me, you don't have to do that at 15.
Let me go rapid fire with some names. I want you to go.
Say yay or nay.
Hate, like, love.
Okay, go.
Hollywood Brown at 15.
Like.
DK Metcalf.
Hate. Visceral hate. So much hate.
Cleveland Farrell.
Like.
Brian Burns.
Like.
Daniel Jones.
Hate. So much hate.
Dwayne Haskins.
Love.
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 And Drew Locke.
Hate.
Hmm.
That's not true. Like.
Like, fine.
Like, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun, man. 6:30 tonight for our coverage. Chad Dukes is next. Where are you watching from? Oh, you got an event tonight, actually.
I don't. I ended up getting the...
You're kidding.
Yeah, no, the show got canceled, which is great because it's a conflict with the draft.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, that's awkward.
What?
Yeah, I know.
When did that come down?
A couple days ago.
Oh, man.
So.
You just got boned every way from Sunday.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Having a good time. So, Chad Dukes is next. I can't believe he had time, by the way, to help with our draft preparation.
Yeah.
Because he was doing the study on Manuel Margot and Fran Mel Reyes, the outfield of the San Diego Padres, and their line drive and hard contact rates. And he's got a study about Nats pitchers and how they better watch out for this weekend series.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.